earlier this week on Monday, a man that the Prime Minister of Canada said was radicalized. He didn't say he was a radicalized Muslim, just said he was radicalized. Hit two soldiers with a car, killing one of them. Police later killed the man. Passports for the Muslim who shot and killed the soldier outside of Parliament, and the Muslim who rammed his car into two soldiers, had been confiscated before they struck out at Canada's military. There was no indication that the incidents were related. No. You got two Muslims killing soldiers, and you can't make a connection. Is the common denominator Islam and killing? I mean, Scott, I don't claim to be the sharpest guy in the history of the world, but it seems to me to be two things in common, killing, Islam. What am I missing here?
That's pretty much it. You hit the nail on the head there. In killing for extremely... It's not like a straightforward killing. It's always usually I'm going to come in with a weapon of some sort.
And killing unarmed. Both soldiers were in one reservist. I think both actually were reservists. Both were unarmed, and it wasn't I engaged in a battle or an act of war. Both were unarmed and were killed in cold blood. So then you move from there to the CNN article says that even before the two attacks, there had already been concern about jihadist efforts in the nation. The United States highlighted security at its embassy in Ottawa, as well as other places throughout the country after jihadist chatter indicated an attack would be in the works. Jihad. How many religions have a religious concept of jihad? Is there a jihad in amongst Protestant Christians?
No.
No. Is there a jihad in Catholicism?
No.
Have you ever heard of Buddhists speaking of jihad?
No, not at all.
No. How about even socialist secular humanists? Do they have a jihadist brigade?
No, not.
No, we're still back in our common denominator, aren't we?
Yeah.
All right, so.
Even people as dumb as Mormons
there is no science. Scientology doesn't. Was the guy? What's the God's name?
Xenu
and the then the volcano. No, there's no jihadist regime there. The CNN article says what we don't know. We don't know the gunman's motive for the shooting. Let's see. He was a Muslim. He killed Canadian military, cold blood. What do you think the motivation was? I mean, the CNN journalist here may not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but maybe you could make a connection on the known facts. Speaking of the shooter, says what we know. We're satisfied at this point that only one individual is responsible for the shooting yesterday on Capitol Hill. That's from the Ottawa police chief. And yet, three paragraphs before, this journalist said, we don't know if they was part of a larger group or not. And here, the police are saying, no, we're satisfied. There's only one person. The alleged gunman was born Michael Joseph Hall in Canada in 1982 and changed his name to an Islamic name. The attack came 2 days after a, quote, radicalized Muslim killed a soldier with his car and 5 days after Canada raised its threat level. This CNN editorial piece that says what we don't know, why he changed his name. Let's see. He converted to Islam. He changed his name to reflect his Islamic religion. I mean, how tough is this? You'd have to assume that the editorial board and journalists for CNN have never, ever used evidence and reason to form a rational conclusion. But two sources told CNN that he had converted to Islam. While the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria and their militants have stepped up recruitment efforts in Canada, there's no indication so far that the attacker was part of them. And still isn't. There's no association with the Islamic State. The common denominator is Islam. Yahoo News published the following. It said that he had a criminal record. According to scattered court records, he was charged with a series of crimes, including drug possession, credit card forgery, and robbery. It's very common amongst Muslims, because why? The 8th surah of the Quran says that stealing is lawful and good. The 9th surah of the Quran begins by saying that you are rewarded for bearing false witness, for lying. The 8th surah of the Quran actually speaks of murder as being something that Muslims should engage in. All of the Medina surahs actually speak of the of jihad as being the highest calling for a Muslim. So, since Muhammad was a thief, since Muhammad was dishonest, forgery, the only thing you have here that isn't the behavior of Muhammad that we know of was drug possession. He was on a watch list. According to the Globe and Mail, he was recently designated as a high-risk traveler by the government. They pulled his passport. This is the thing I don't understand. If he is identified as a potential Islamic terrorist, why do you want to keep him in the country?
Yeah,
why wouldn't you want him to go off to a place where Muslims are killing Muslims? I don't understand that. We just did that with three girls in the United States or Canada, and they were found in Germany en route to Syria. I don't get it. Why wouldn't you want them to go? Why would you want to keep them here when they're committed to Islamic terrorism?
I was going to ask that. They always say, oh, this person was on a list. Well, because, like, the Tsarnaev brothers, the Boston bombers, they were on a list. All these people are on a list, but what are they doing with that list if they're allowing these people to actually go out and then perpetrate the crimes?
Why wouldn't you want them to travel? I mean, why wouldn't you want them to go away? I mean, if somebody has Ebola, do you want them running around your country infecting other people? Or do you want them to go off to a place where lots of people have Ebola? You know, it's the same thing with Islam. This idea of restricting their travel so they're menacing. I mean, what the Canadian government got by that stupid behavior, by that stupid decision, the same thing America is getting, is they keep the Islamic terrorists free in their own countries so that they kill. As opposed to going off and killing other Muslims. No, they're killing Canadians, killing Americans. He was a convert to Islam. His religious conversion took place some 10 years ago. He was purportedly planned. By the way, if you're born in an Islamic country and you've been indoctrinated with Islam all your life and there's no option of either being a Muslim, or if you're not a Muslim and you're born in an Islamic country and you choose not to be a Muslim, they'll kill you. So there really aren't any choices available in Islamic country. But if you're raised in a free country like Canada and you convert to Islam, you're insane. You're just insane. He had purportedly planned to travel to the Middle East. A family friend told CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Company, that he saw this fellow 6 weeks ago in a mosque in the Vancouver area, where he was reportedly working saying that he wanted to go to the Middle East soon to study Islam. Yeah, so he just decided he would be a jihadist in advance. His friend witnessed some erratic behavior. He says, we were having a conversation in the kitchen. He says, I don't know how he worded it, but I said the devil is after him. I think he must have been mentally ill. You know, if you're worshiping Allah, if you're trying to please Allah, you're a devil worshiper. Allah was modeled after Satan. It's not my opinion. Statement of fact. When you read the Quran, and when you read the Hadith, you cannot come to any other informed conclusion other than Allah is modeled after Satan. He spends all of his time in hell, constantly torturing those that don't capitulate. Wants to be called the Lord, wants to be feared, wants everyone to obey him. Is promoting himself as Allahu Akbar, as greater than Yahweh. He has all of Satan's characteristics. Lying is good. Stealing is good. Adultery is good. Rape is good. Murder is good. The highest calling for a Muslim is to be a jihadist and a mass murderer. He's Satan. Of course, the devil is after him. Islam is demonic. It says he acted alone. There, fact is that he's not associated with any Islamic terrorist organization. He's just a Muslim. The common denominator in all of this is Islam. I'm saddened by it, but that's reality. Turning to another story in Reuters, we are learning that the European Union leaders are urging Russia at a summit this week to do more to stabilize the Ukraine. Of course, they want Russia to give the Ukraine gas. But why would Russia want to stabilize the Ukraine? The Ukraine has lied against it. The Ukraine has murdered ethnic Russians. The Ukraine has used clustered bombs on ethnic Russians. The Ukraine has engaged in four gas deals with Russia in the 20 years that it has existed as an independent country, and it's broken the terms of the agreement all four times. They owe Russia $2 billion on unpaid gas that they've stolen. Why would Russia have any incentive whatsoever to stabilize the Ukraine? They don't have any. And so now that that the West has created anarchy in the Ukraine by encouraging the thugs in Kiev to overthrow the popularly elected government, and then we funded their war against Donetsk and Luhansk, and now we want Russia to play a role to stabilize that which we destroyed, recognizing that you've got NATO playing war games in the west of the Ukraine, that Ukraine is begging to be part of NATO, being funded by the West, and you want Russia to stabilize them? Are you out of your mind? The Comatose News Network, CNN, is reporting that America's drug war in Afghanistan is failing. The reality is that opium production in Afghanistan is an all-time high. An unprecedented 209,000 hectares of poppies were produced for opium in 2013. Even though U.S. agencies spent, catch this, $7.6 billion to stop narcotics production in the nation. So our federal government, our military, our politicians, our State Department squandered $7.6 billion in a backwards place like Afghanistan to entice them not to grow poppies, to bribe them not to grow poppies. And what did they do? They produced the largest poppy crop in the history of that country for heroin. Can you imagine? I mean, it's one thing to have invaded Afghanistan at a time when heroin production was at its all-time low because the Taliban wouldn't tolerate it. And so the heroin production and availability, and Afghanistan is the leading producer of heroin in the world, had been. The Taliban brought that to a crashing halt. America then invades Afghanistan, and what happens? A proliferation of heroin. But not only did the production of heroin skyrocket as a direct consequence of the United States invasion of Afghanistan, we paid $7.6 billion to stop the narcotic production. Man, I can't even imagine that the crop was worth $7.6 billion. I mean, not even... on my wildest imagination, the heroin crop may have been worth a few hundred million. And yet, we squandered $7.6 billion to stop a few hundred million dollars worth of drug production. And yet, the drug production was at all-time high. That just demonstrates why you don't invade countries. Why you don't go and deploy your military, making bad situations worse. Why you shouldn't trust your State Department. Why you shouldn't trust your politicians. Why you shouldn't trust your military. We not only made a bad situation worse in Afghanistan, but we squandered boatloads of coin and blood in the process. We are so upside down as a country, so grotesquely ignorant, counterproductive, immoral. It is a crying shame that people still fly the flag, that people still salute the military, that people still vote at elections. Wake up. You're being taken for a ride. This idea that the American government is at war and has a war against drugs. No, it's the largest sponsor of drugs in the world. This very notion of the drugs that come in to America gives them the justification for their egregious assault police, for their SWAT teams, for their jails that incarcerate a higher percentage of the population than any other nation on earth, maybe even in the history of mankind. It's all a control mechanism. It's how the elite become wealthy. Afghanistan, this article says, is the source of 80% of the world's opium, yielding $3 billion in sales in 2013, up from $2 billion the previous year. Oh, so I was wrong. Yeah, if the government of the U.S. is right, that the opium sales in Afghanistan last year were $3 billion. You know, if it was a stock and they had an increase in revenues from $2 to $3 billion, you know, that'd be a big deal. That'd be a growth stock. And yet we paid $7.6 billion to stop people from producing $3 billion worth of drug. So what does that mean? Does that mean that between the monies that they confiscated, that they took, the nearly $8 billion to stop production and the $3 billion from production, that really in Afghanistan that was worth $10 billion? What else in Afghanistan would be worth $10 to $11 billion? What else do you have in Afghanistan that could be worth that kind of money? Nothing. The U.S. even said a big chunk of that money goes to terrorists. Yes, the U.S. authorities are even admitting that a big chunk of that money, of the $7.6 billion that America is paying for the Afghanis not to grow poppies for heroin, is going to fund the Afghan insurgency and terrorism. Why don't we just say the Taliban? Yeah, you know, if you're going to declare war and commit your armed forces to fight a foe, then that foe is inadequate to create the illusion that you actually have an enemy that is worth combating. Sometimes you've just got to fund them. And I guess that's what we're doing. There's $11 billion that we're providing as funding for the Taliban so that, you know, we can justify having our military hang there in Afghanistan. Of course, we provide all their weapons. Most of their weapons are better than the weapons being deployed by American Special Forces because we truck the weapons through Pakistan and drive right through the areas that the Taliban controls in Pakistan. And, you know, one out of every two or three truckloads they confiscate. They just let enough to go through that we continue to send the trucks so that they continue to be well-armed. Many of us know that yesterday a federal jury found four Blackwater security guards guilty of murdering 14 Iraqis in Baghdad in 2007. 2007. Look at that. 7 years ago. I mean, America's justice is just badly broken. It's the reason why the Iraqis did not want to give any concessions in terms of judicial concessions to America's armed forces in Iraq. 7 years after the Blackwater security guards murdered 14 Iraqi civilians in cold blood, they're convicted. Or 7 years later. Justice delayed is no justice at all. One former guard was found guilty of murder and the three others of voluntary manslaughter. A further 17 Iraqis were injured as the private contractors that were deployed by the U.S. government opened fire to clear way for a U.S. convoy. Yeah, the U.S. convoy was military. It was the military that hired them. The shooting sparked an international outrage and a debate over the role of defense contractors in warfare. Oh, yes. Yeah, so should we use our military, which they were murdering Iraqis, or should we use civilians to protect the military? Prosecutors said that the Blackwater Guards had harbored deep hostility towards the Iraqis and boasted of firing their weapons indiscriminately. Of course. And by the way, the same thing is true with the soldiers that were there. Deep resentment. Why? They were told they were going in to liberate the Iraqis. They were told that they were providing freedom for the Iraqis. Now, why, when you sign up for the American military, are you supposed to be providing freedom and liberty for and protection for people of other countries? I have no clue. But nonetheless, forgetting the fact that that's not what they signed up for, and that's not what the American military is supposed to be for, that's not what we're paying them for, the fact is that the people that they were supposed to be liberating and freeing and doing this marvelous service on behalf of hated them and were their enemy. And so there is a natural resentment that flows out of that. That's why so many veterans come back and claim either post-traumatic stress syndrome. Had a lot of stress when you're told that you're there to liberate and protect people who are trying to kill you, and why so many commit suicide. Nicholas Slatin was found guilty of murder, while Paul Slow, Evan Liberty, and Dustin Hurd were found guilty of at least three charges of voluntary manslaughter and also face gun charges. Oh, gun charges, too. Swell. Dateline Chicago. This is also indicative of the problems we have in America. Early voting in Illinois got off to a rocky start on Monday as votes being cast for Republican candidates were transformed into votes for Democrats. Yeah, wouldn't you expect it in Chicago? Republican state representative candidate Jim Moynihan went to vote Monday at the Schaumburg Public Library. See, he tried to cast a vote for myself, and instead it cast a vote for my opponent, Moynihan said. You could imagine my surprise, as the same thing happened with a number of other races when I tried to vote for a Republican, and the machine registered a vote for a Democrat. The conservative website Illinois Review reported that while using a touchscreen voting machine in Schaumburg, Moynihan voted for several races on the ballot, only to find that whenever he voted for a Republican candidate, the machine changed the vote and registered the vote for a Democratic in the same race. He notified the election judge at his polling place and demonstrated that it continued to cast a vote for the opposing candidate's party. Moynihan was eventually allowed to vote for Republican candidates, including in his own race. Moynihan offered his gracious lesson to his followers on Twitter. Be careful when you vote in Illinois. Swell, huh? You notice that it wasn't a Democrat having the votes changed to Republican. No, not in Illinois. In Illinois, the very corruption that brought us John F. Kennedy. Now, John F. Kennedy won the presidential election because his father arranged for organized crime in Illinois to stack votes on behalf of his son. It is the political regime that Barack Hussein Obama emerged from. Little known fact that had Coach Ditka, the star of Chicago Bear football fame, the coach when the Bears won the Super Bowl, when McMahon, the colorful quarterback, was throwing passes and doing so many things that were entertaining when the big defensive lineman would line up in an offensive position and carry the ball. I think he was called the refrigerator, the fridge. Ditka was going to run for Senate. And at the last minute, Ditka pulled out of the race. Ditka, extraordinarily popular. I mean, he is one of the few Republicans that his popularity, because of his association with the Bears, would have carried him into victory in Illinois. But he didn't run. And when he didn't run, guess who the automated mechanisms of the Democratic political machine in Illinois sent to Washington? Barack Hussein Obama. Dateline Jerusalem. A Palestinian driver. Now, there's no such thing as a Palestinian, so why don't you say the truth? A Muslim driver plowed his car into a group of people waiting at a light rail station in northern Jerusalem on Wednesday, the police said, killing an Israeli baby and injuring eight other people. The driver was shot and seriously injured by police as he tried to flee, according to the police, and an episode that added to the escalating tensions in the city. Escalating tensions. Muslims are murderers, no matter where you find them. A spokesperson for the police, Mickey Rosenfeld, said the event was being treated as a suspected terrorist attack. Why? Because the perpetrator was, in fact, a convicted terrorist, with a strong possibility that the driver had deliberately run the people over. That turned out to be true. Footage from a traffic camera aired on Israeli television showed the car swerving off the main road and driving in while accelerating in the direction of those standing in front of the rail station, deliberate and purposeful. The Ma'an Palestinian news agency identified the driver as Abd al-Rahman, which is the first god of Islam. Now, yes, the Quran begins with a god other than Allah, Rahman. Al-Shadudi, he's 20 years old. Mr. Rosenfeld said that the driver had previously served time in an Israeli prison. Yeah, he'd been convicted of terrorism. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu ordered a reinforcement of security forces in Jerusalem in a statement accused President Mahmoud Abbas of the Palestinian Authority, of the PA, which is the PLO and Fatah, that's Arafat's terrorist organization, of inciting violence against Jews in Jerusalem. In a speech over the weekend, Mr. Abbas called on Palestinians, therefore Muslims, to defend Al-Aqsa Mosque by all means after a series of violent confrontations between Muslims, worshippers, and the police around the mosque. What a piece of scum. And I just despise these people. And if you're moral, if you're informed, you would despise them as well. These Muslims are on Jerusalem's Temple Mount. This is Yahweh's Temple Mount. And yet, after invading Israel, they built two of the ugliest, most despicable shrines and mosques on top of the very spot where Yahweh's Temple once stood, Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock. What's the Dome of the Rock? Well, Muhammad lied and said that he rode a wild ass from Mecca to Jerusalem and met in the non-existent temple, although he didn't know it was non-existent, with all the prophetic bigwigs of the Hebrew Torah. Complete, utter fabrication. And then with his wild winged ass, jumped from the Temple Mount up into hell en route to the Islamic heaven. And so they built a shrine of the hip hoofy print, the Dome of the Rock, and then the furthest mosque, Al-Aqsa. And the Muslims that have been there won't allow anyone else, including Jews, to go to their Temple Mount. And they started throwing Molotov cocktails and pyrotechnic devices, rocks, at the Jews. And when the Jews confronted them, they ran into Al-Aqsa Mosque, and there was a stash of rocks, Molotov cocktails, and explosive devices. And then the idiot that controls Fatah, the PLO, told Muslims, do more of it. Benjamin Netanyahu is born. This Muslim accelerated his car into a group of Jewish civilians that were standing outside of a train station, killing a baby because they were incited to do so by Abbas. Abbas is the head of an unelected group of Muslims operating as the Palestinian Authority, which is Fatah. That's his political party. Fatah is the political wing of the PLO. The PLO, long before Al-Qaeda, was the most vicious, most famous, most aggressive Islamic terrorist organization in the world. The PLO killed Robert Kennedy. Sirhan Sirhan was a member. The PLO killed American ambassadors in the Sudan. The PLO is responsible for the murders of the Israeli athletes at the Munich Games. The PLO is responsible for killing thousands of Jews in terrorist attacks. The PLO is responsible for the first and second intifada that resulted in so many casualties among Jewish civilians. The PLO is the first to deploy suicide bombings with reckless abandon. The PLO is the first to honor suicide bombers as if they were religious martyrs and heroes. That's Abbas's organization. Now, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Been the capital of Israel since the time of David. David lived right around 1000 BCE. It's now past 2000 CE. For over 3,000 years, Jerusalem has been the capital of Israel. It's in the province of Yehuda, Judah. There's no mistaking the fact that Israel is the homeland of the Jews, and that Jerusalem is its capital. And the centerpiece of Jerusalem is the Temple Mount. It is where Yahweh's temple stood. It is where Yahusha spent so much time. And for Muslims to have conquered Israel immediately after Muhammad's death, after hunting and down and killing and raping and enslaving and robbing, decapitating every Jew within camel ride of Mecca and Medina immediately prior to that, during Muhammad's life, to then build in a Allahu Akbar moment, Allah is greater than Yahweh, a shrine to Allah on the Temple Mount is reprehensible. That would be very much like the Jews said, you know, we're going to send our armed forces against Saudi Arabia. and we're going to pummel them back into the Stone Age. And while we're doing it in a religious war against Saudi Arabia, we're going to bomb Mecca. And the Kaaba, we're going to completely eradicate. And right over the Kaaba, we're going to build the world's largest synagogue. In fact, we're going to use the foundation of the Kaaba to build the world's largest synagogue. And then we're going to forbid any Muslim from stepping foot there. And if any Muslim tries to step foot there, we're going to attack them. Now, that's what you've got with the Shrine of the Hoofy Print, the Dome of the Rock, and Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the Muslims being so reprehensible. Now, if Israel had done that, the whole world would be screaming, how could you do that? And yet the world bribes Muslims to do it. $6.5 billion given to Muslims to terrorize Jews.
Well, the whole world screamed when Israel built houses.
Oh, of course.
Just houses. They didn't build
houses.
The United
States condemned them. The U.K. condemned them. France condemned Israel for building houses in their capital in Jerusalem. And here's Muslims. And the head of the Islamic terrorist organization, the PLO, Fatah, Palestinian Authority, inciting Muslims to use all manner to prevent Jews from even stepping foot on their Temple Mount. It's just reprehensible. And they're using the mosque to stage their weapons, to store their weapons. It is so disgusting. This religion is rotten to the core. It is incompatible with freedom and liberty. It needs to be eradicated.